Many of those holding a vigil outside Terri Schiavo's hospice are inspired by their religious convictions. To learn more about those beliefs and others, NPR religion correspondent Barbara Bradley Haggerty spoke to prominent members of various faiths.
The case of Terri Schiavo has forced millions of Americans to consider some eternal questions. When does life end, and who decides? The religion that set the clearest course in the Schiavo case is the Roman Catholic Church, to which Terri Schiavo belongs. Richard Dorflinger, who heads up pro-life activities at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, says the Church's stand on the Schiavo case is simple. Food and water are basic to survival, and the doctor should keep in Schiavo's feeding tube until it's burdensome for the patient or no longer effective.
It's certainly effective in sustaining her life. It's been sustaining her life for 15 years. You know, you can't help thinking that the people who are trying to pull the tube are trying to pull it because it is too darn effective at sustaining her life, and they think it's time for this to end. But that's an approach that the Catholic Church is warning against.
That stand, he says, derives from an impeccable source, the Book of Genesis.
We see every human being is made in the image and likeness of God, as therefore having a life with inherent dignity, inherent value, that no one else can take away.
That has been a clarion call for the protesters in Florida, where Catholics have prayed and wept and waited next to pro-life evangelical Protestants. Greg Kokel, a pastor and president of an evangelical group called Stand to Reason, says Terri Schiavo's life is slipping away as Christians celebrate Easter, the time when, Christians believe, God allowed his son to be crucified so that others could have eternal life.
Jesus died for human beings. He didn't die for just perfect human beings, people who had a good life, who had an exceptional quality of life. He didn't just die for people who could get better. He died for all people because they were valuable right where they were, regardless of these other circumstances.
He says removing Schiavo's feeding tube was an affirmative destructive act, and that could have implications that go far beyond Terri Schiavo.
We would actively be euthanizing someone without their consent. This is the issue that's so critical to me, because what it sets in motion is a principle in jurisprudence and in the American psyche, basically, that it's okay to do that kind of thing.
And he says that would open the door to weighing the value of other lives, whether fetuses or the severely disabled or the elderly, and finding them too burdensome. For Johari Abdal Malik, an imam at Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center in Falls Church, Virginia, a Muslim starts with the presumption that life is sacred.
The Quran says if you save the life of one person, it would be as if you saved all of humanity. And if you took wrongfully the life of one person, it would be as if you had killed all of humanity.
But he says there is a debate among Muslim scholars. What is the definition of life, and is Terri Schiavo alive by that definition?
Some scholars would say if a person has bodily functions, then they're alive. Other scholars might say that if a person has lost brain activity, then they no longer have consciousness. Some would say then perhaps they're not alive.
He says if life means simply bodily functions, then Islamic tradition says Schiavo must receive food, hydration, and palliative care. But if life means possessing consciousness, then it's not so clear that Schiavo should be kept on a feeding tube. Rabbi Michael Feshbach, a Reformed Jew, believes Schiavo's life hinges on another definition. What exactly is a feeding tube?
Is it medicine, in which case Jewish tradition says it may be removed or possibly should not have been applied in the first place? Or is it really food and water?
If the feeding tube constitutes medical treatment and it's not curing the patient, then at least some Jewish scholars say the tube may be removed. The reason, Feshbach says, is that the person is already in the process of dying. A person who can no longer feed herself is already shutting down, and so removing the feeding tube is only removing an impediment to death, not fundamentally causing death. And Jewish tradition speaks to situations like Schiavo's, he says. Consider the story about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who lived 1,800 years ago.
Some tell of a group of disciples of a rabbi who were praying that his life be extended while he was gravely ill, indeed when he was dying, and his maid climbed to a roof, dropped a jar. The jar shattered, made a noise, interrupted the disciples' prayers. At that moment, the great rabbi's soul departed, and his maid was considered praiseworthy.
Because she allowed the rabbi to die at last. Annette Jones, the pastor of a United Methodist Church in Miami Beach, says she has witnessed that long struggle toward death too many times to count. She says she's counseled hundreds of people who suffered with AIDS and cancer, and believes that no doctrine can replace compassion. The fundamental question to Jones is, what is in the best interest of Terry Schiavo? No one can answer that question, she says, but she sees some wisdom in the Easter story that will be read in her church on Sunday. In that passage, Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, but has not yet ascended to heaven. Then he appears to Mary Magdalene.
This was when Mary was at the empty tomb. She was weeping, and she was wondering what had happened to the one that she had loved so much. And it just struck me that one sentence he said to her, "Don't hold on to me, woman."
Jones sees a parallel with Terry Schiavo and her family, who is so desperate to keep her alive.
I'm worrying that this artificially prolonging of her state is having a negative impact on her spirit, that she's caught between these two worlds in a state of limbo, unable to live and not allowed to die.
Jones, like almost everyone interviewed, says her view may differ from the policy of her church, but in fact, very few policies are clear-cut and universally held in this debate. That's also true for Buddhism. One Buddhist monk says that Schiavo must be kept alive to allow for a miracle. Another says she must be allowed to die in peace because the way she dies will affect the way she begins her next life. Roshi Joan Halifax, a Zen Buddhist teacher who specializes in end-of-life issues, says that for all Buddhists, the moment of death is considered the greatest opportunity for ultimate liberation. It's nothing to be feared. Central to her thinking is the doctrine of impermanence, that nothing is so substantial that it will not die.
It is very important from the Buddhist perspective to realize the truth of impermanence, because clinging to anything creates suffering. And I feel that what we're seeing here is, you know, sustaining someone's life beyond that which is conscionable has created tremendous suffering. So letting her go could be grace.
Though she quickly says she sees no clear path for Terry Schiavo when all the ultimate questions hang in the balance. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.